name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of Saint Joan of Arc is not a legend, but a beautiful reality, although many have never believed in her supernatural mission to save France from English occupation. We are in the 15th century, a century of civil strife among the French themselves. The King of England considered himself heir to the crown of France and wanted to achieve it by force of arms, if he could not achieve it peacefully. Many French, including the Burgundians, supported him, so that the English king signed with the name of King of England and France. It is at those crucial moments in French history that God chooses a 13-year-old peasant girl to prepare her for the mission of liberating France from the English and crowning her king. Her mission only lasted a little over a year. Later, she was taken prisoner and sold to the English, who organized a court chaired by the Bishop of Beauvais, Pierre Cachon, to achieve the elimination of Joan, whom they considered their worst enemy, because she had defeated them on several fronts, believing that this was done by sorceries and spells. The story of Saint Joan of Arc is an exciting story in which the power of God is clearly and evidently manifested, who chooses the weakest in the world, a young girl who did not know how to read or write, nor did she know how to ride a horse, to lead the armies of France and achieve great victories. For this, God granted her the company and the permanent advice of some saints, such as Saint Michael the Archangel, Saint Margaret of Antioch, and Saint Catherine of Alexandria, who spoke to her about him and advised her in everything that she should do. In the end, this heroine, called the Maid of Orleans, died for fulfilling God's will and saving the country. She was a prisoner for a year, suffering horribly until she was sentenced to die at the bonfire. The court that condemned her was not that of the Inquisition, but it was a court made up of many ecclesiastics, headed by the Bishop of Beauvais, totally at the service of England. For this reason, it has been rightly considered that the true authors of her death were the English. At that time, the king and the royal council were in the city with thousands of soldiers, and in those circumstances, no one could oppose his will. Hence, this trial and Joan of Arc's condemnation are regarded as an indelible stain on the history of England. Saint Joan of Arc was born on January 6, 1412, in the village of Domremy. Today it is called Domremy-la-Pucelle and has about 300 inhabitants. Some have doubted if she was really French or of another nationality, because when God calls her, he tells her to go to France. Besides her, her village of Domremy belonged in her time to the region of Lorraine, which was in the valley of the Meuse, on the border between France and the independent duchy of Bar. King Charles VII of France in 1430, 15 days after his coronation in Reims, and at the request of Saint Joan of Arc, granted the towns of Greux and Domremy perpetual exemption from all taxes and levies. For this reason, the tax sheets appear since then cancelled with the words Néant la Pucelle, written in the margin. When the kings of France in 1571 ceded these villas of Greux and Domremy to the Duchy of Bar, they lost at the same time the tax exemption granted by the King of France. These rights were only recovered when Lorraine and the Duchy of Bar were definitively united with France in 1776. Another interesting fact is given by Saint Joan of Arc herself, when she says that those of the neighboring town of Marcy were Anglo-Burgundians, and those of Domremy were supporters of the King of France. And she says, "I have seen some young men from Domremy, after their battles against those of Marcy, sometimes come back well wounded and bloodied." Saint Joan of Arc's arrival in the world was not by chance. It was not by chance that she was born in her land or called to liberate France. In God's plans, she had already been announced years before. A prophetess, Marie Robine of Avignon, called the Gasque of Avignon, had already announced that France would be liberated by a maiden at the beginning of the 15th century. In her vision, the following is described. Marie Robine of Avignon had once presented herself to the king and had prophesied that the kingdom of France would have much to suffer, with many calamities, and that she had many visions concerning the desolation of the kingdom of France. Among other things, this Marie had seen numerous armors that were presented to her, and she, frightened, had been afraid of being forced to wear them. But she was told not to fear, that it would not be she who had to carry those weapons, but a maiden who would come after her and rid the kingdom of France of her enemies. This confirms that Saint Joan of Arc was the one Marie Robine of Avignon was talking about. Her father held various functions in Domrémy. He was responsible for the local castle in 1419 and was bailiff of Domrémy in 1423. Also this year, he was responsible for the collection of some taxes. Her mother was strong-willed and raised her 5 children in the faith. At the age of 60, in 1440, she went to Orleans, her husband had already died, with 2 of her children to ask the Pope for a review of Joan of Arc's process of beatification. About her father, Saint Joan of Arc herself declared, "My father was called Jacques d'Arc and my mother Isabel. My mother taught me the Lord's Prayer, the Hail Mary, and the Creed, and it was she and no other who taught me all my religious beliefs." Saint Joan of Arc herself tells us, "When I was at my father's house, I took care of things around the house. I learned to sew and spin, and with the distaff and the needle, I fear no woman from ruin. When I was young, I did not usually keep the animals, but I helped carry them to the meadow and to the castle, called the Island, where the animals were locked up for fear of looters. When I lived with my father and mother, my mother told me many times that my father said that he had dreamed that his daughter Joan would go away with men of arms. That is why my mother and father took great care of me, and they held me very subject to them. I have obeyed my parents in everything except my departure. Then I have written to them, and they have given me their forgiveness. God commanded me, and I should do it. And even if I had 100 fathers and 100 mothers and were the king's daughter, I would have left home." Saint Joan of Arc says, "I went to confession with the parish priest, and when I was disabled, I went to confession with another priest with his permission. Once, 2 or 3 times, I confessed, and received the Eucharist at Easter." Her godfather declared, "Her parents were good and faithful Catholics, with an honest life. Joan was honest in her conduct, as is appropriate for a daughter of such a condition. Her parents weren't very rich. During her youth, until she left her father's house, she sometimes tended the cattle in the fields and did women's things, spinning and other jobs that they do. She liked to go to church frequently, so some girls made fun of her." Saint Joan of Arc liked to give alms and collected the poor at night. She wanted to sleep in the oven and give her bed to the homeless. Since she did not dance, she was frequently criticized by the other girls. She also liked to confess. God began to prepare her for her great mission from the age of 13. She began to hear supernatural voices, which were later identified as those of Saint Michael the Archangel and those of Saint Margaret and Saint Catherine. "The first voice I heard was that of Saint Michael the Archangel, whom I have seen with my own eyes. He was not alone, he was accompanied by many angels from paradise. I have seen them all with my bodily eyes, just as I see you. When they left, I cried and wished they had taken me with them." "The first time I saw Saint Michael the Archangel, I was in great doubt whether he was Saint Michael, and I was very afraid. I saw him many times before I knew that he was Saint Michael. The first time, I was a young girl, and I was afraid of what I saw. But then he taught me so many things that I firmly believed that it was him. He told me to be a virtuous girl and that God would help me. Among other things, he told me that I would go to help the King of France. He presented himself in the form of a brave man. What has moved me to believe him was his good advice, the comfort and the good doctrine that he gave me. Just as I firmly believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has suffered death to free us from the pains of hell, so I believe that it is Saint Michael the Archangel, Saint Gabriel the Archangel, Saint Margaret of Antioch, and Saint Catherine of Alexandria who our Lord sends me to comfort and advise me." When Saint Michael the Archangel came, he told me that Saint Catherine and Saint Margaret would come. He ordered me to conduct myself according to their advice, that they were ordered to direct me and advise me on what I had to do, to believe what they told me, because that was the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have received much consolation from Saint Michael the Archangel. On May 3rd, I received consolation from Saint Gabriel the Archangel. Believe me, it was St. Gabriel. I have known it from the voices. I have also seen angels many times among Christians. When St. Michael the Archangel or the angels left, I would kiss the ground where they had placed their feet as a sign of reverence. When St. Michael, the angels, or the saints come, I bow to them, and if I have ever not done so, I immediately ask for their forgiveness. I do not know how to bow to them as appropriate, and what I say about them, I say about St. Michael. When they come, sometimes I make the sign of the cross, but sometimes I don't. With all my will, I carry out the mandate that our Lord Jesus Christ gives me through the voices, as I understand it. They do not send me anything that is not pleasing to the Lord. Everything that I have done good has been by mandate of the voices. God wanted to make through a simple maiden the power to reject the king's adversaries. My works are a ministry. The rehabilitation process to lift the supposed disgrace of St. Joan of Arc by dying as a heretic and sorceress, lifting the excommunication that weighed on her, began in 1450 with an official investigation. In 1451, the Grand Inquisitor of France did some diligence to determine what had been the negative elements of Joan's trial, which would indicate that the trial had been invalid and therefore the sentence was void. In 1452, an ecclesiastical investigation was carried out with interrogations of all those who had been involved in the conviction process and other witnesses. The trial actually began in 1455 to rehabilitate Joan and her family. King Charles VII, who had been helped so much by St. Joan of Arc, asked Pope Calixtus III for her rehabilitation at the request of Joan's mother, Isabel Rami, and two of her children. Although the king also had an interest in demonstrating to the world that he had not entrusted her consecration to a sorceress, as his adversaries might say. The Pope appointed pontifical commissars to represent him in this process. The opening of the rehabilitation process took place in the Church of Our Lady of Paris, referring to Notre Dame, on November 7, 1455. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.